Do you minister to the teens of your parish? Well, who's ministering to you? If you're a hardworking youth minister, core member, music minister, or priest, the Life Teen Training Convention is the place to be. Leaders of all types will be gathered in beautiful, carefree Arizona to be trained, affirmed, and inspired. To find out more, click on events on ym.lifeteen.com. You're listening to the Sunday podcast brought to you by lifeteen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Well, here we are. We've been through most of Easter season. We just celebrated the Ascension of our Lord. And this week, my brothers and my sisters, we're preparing for the final week of the Easter season before we head into the red fires of Pentecost, the seventh Sunday of Easter. I hope you have something to write on. Hope you got your Bible. You're going to need it. Our first reading from Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, and verses 20 to 26. Our psalm response from Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, verses 11 and 12, verses 19 in 20, our second reading from 1 John 4, verses 11 to 16, and our gospel from St. John chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. It's a lot of teens. I'm saying teen a lot. It's good. It's a Life Teen podcast. Okay, we've been through a lot this Easter. We've covered a lot of ground. And my family, there's something I want to throw out to you, and I just want to ask you this question. What's your mission? What is your mission here on earth? What is your mission in your home? What is your mission in your school, in your office, in your relationships, in your friendships? What's your mission? Say, well, you know, be good to people, be nice to people, to love people. Yeah, but love them where? To love people where? You know, oftentimes we don't really stop to think, what is my mission? What's the mission that God set apart for me? What's my goal? What's my vocation? What's my mission? What am I created for? What am I set apart for? That God created you for a purpose only you can fulfill. And when God is in relationship with you, he's setting you apart for a very specific mission, a very specific vocation that only you can fulfill. This first reading is really wonderful because you see again, that it says, Peter stood up in the midst of the brothers, in the midst of the brothers, of the apostles. He said, my brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand through the mouth of David concerning Judas. And they were reminded again, okay, Judas isn't with him anymore. We have the 11 apostles. And in order to have that complete, the 12, okay, which is going to mirror the 12 tribes of Israel in the past, they need to find a new apostle. But how do they do that? And this is so interesting. It says, therefore, it's necessary, and when they're trying to pick someone new to replace Judas, it's necessary that one of the men who accompanied us the whole time the Lord Jesus came and went among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day on which he was taken up from us, okay, which we just celebrated that, okay, Ascension Thursday, become with us a witness to his resurrection. You catch that? They didn't say, okay, we need to find number 12. Let's go find someone who's really learned in the law. You know, let's go find a Pharisee like Nicodemus who's with us. They didn't do that. They didn't say, let's go find someone who's really good who can hold the money, you know, the money purse like Judas did, someone who's really good with the numbers. They didn't do that. They didn't even say, let's go find ourselves a great speaker, someone who can really rally people. They didn't do that. They said, we got to find somebody who knew Jesus intimately and personally, someone who walked with him from the beginning to the end. Because that's who's going to be a witness with us for his resurrection. They proposed two men, Barsabbas and Matthias, and they cast lots, and Matthias wins. My brothers and my sisters, this is really important. This might be one of those readings you go, oh, why is that important? Did you notice they didn't go find the learned people, and they didn't go find the people that had these outward worldly talents that might have served them well when trying to build an early church. They went and found somebody, and the only prerequisite was that they knew Jesus intimately, that they walked with him, that they ate with them, that they knew him, that they listened to him. And that intimacy is what prepared them for the mission at hand. That intimacy, that personal knowledge of Jesus is what they said was more important than anything else. You know, I've gotten to travel the world in the name of the gospel. I've met a lot of people, really, really, really intelligent people who really knew scripture, like the back of their hands, with more letters after their name than I can count. But just because someone knows scripture, knows about Jesus, doesn't always mean they know him. That it's not enough just to know the Bible like the back of our hand. We have to know Christ with the front of our heart. And my brothers and my sisters, as we go forward in your walk, sometimes you might be saying to yourself, I don't know that much about scripture. I'm not sure how all this stuff works. What do I have to offer? You have plenty to offer and more. That the most important thing that you can do in addition to studying, because study is important. You want to study. You want to know scripture. You want to know the church teachings. But in addition to that is that personal knowledge of Christ, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that encounter that you have with him every day in the word, in the Eucharist, in prayer, in one another. That is how God consecrates you for service. Consecrate comes from a Latin word. It means dedicated to something sacred. That's how he consecrates you to serve him, to serve the church, to fulfill your mission, to fulfill your vocation. It says in the second reading, no one's ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God remains in us. What that's saying is that, you know, a lot of people haven't like seen God the Father, but when they see us, if we're living the right way, they do catch a glimpse of him. They do see the reflection of God because God is love. That's what we've been talking about, 1 John, every single week. And at the very end, in case we forget that, it says it again, God is love. And whoever remains in love remains in God and God in him. Now, people are going to know God. People are going to come to know Christ Jesus by the way we live and the way we love. That's what the apostles understood when they were searching for that replacement. That's what the apostles understood when they looked to Matthias to be the 12th. That's what St. John understood when he was saying, hey, even though people can't draw a picture of God the Father in heaven, when they see us loving each other, we are a reflection of God the Father. And that's why in this gospel, it is so important when you hear what Jesus says, I gave them your word and the world hated them because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. He's talking about you and he's talking about me. We should rejoice when people mock us, when people say bad things about us. We should be rejoicing if people seek to tear us down because of the way we live or because of the way we try to love Jesus. That means we're doing something right. And Jesus said this was going to happen. He says that this is going to happen to us because people in the world aren't going to understand us if we reflect Jesus. And that's okay. They don't belong to the world any more than I belong to the world, Christ says. Consecrate them in the truth that God wants us, Jesus wants us to be consecrated, dedicated to something sacred. Truth is sacred. Jesus wants us to be dedicated to that truth so we can reflect him, that we can reflect the love of God. And if we are dedicated to truth and reflecting the love of God, then we are ready to fulfill the mission that God sets before us. The mission he set before Matthias, the mission he set before John, the mission he sets before every one of us from the moment of our conception, the moment of our baptism. God has a mission for you. And my brothers and my sisters, the only way that you're going to fulfill it is by being intimately connected to and devoted to and consecrated by Christ. May he bless you in this final week of the Easter season. Ready your hearts because something special is happening next week. God bless you.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.